All right, good morning, East Region, East Ministry of the London International Church of Christ. It's great to be here this morning. My name is Brian Hinkle, and I can actually say good morning. I'm used to saying good evening as the Central Region meets at 4, so I wanted to make sure I said good morning. So it is great to be here with you guys, and thanks so much, Mike and Julie, for wanting me to be here this morning and just share the word and preach the word to you. I've heard of the East Region for quite a long time, being from Hampton Roads in Virginia, and hearing about Mike and Julia, but there definitely is a very close relationship with London and Hampton Roads, and it's just so great to kind of actually be out of central London, and wow, there's more to it than just what I know. And actually this week got to go out of the M25 for the first time in 2 months, and wow, there is, England is green, actually. It's true. How about that? It is very, very good to be here. I've been a disciple for 9 years and was converted in the student ministry and have always been in Hampton Roads until the last 2 months of my life as a disciple. And so it's been great to be here, to be in London. I came here many times growing up. My dad was a professor at the University of Kent, and so I'd come over and visit him and spend time in Canterbury. And believe it or not, I actually do love proper football, not American football. I've played ever since I was 6 and still play now, and actually ever since I was 6 have been a supporter. I'm sorry if you don't agree with this, but I support Liverpool, and I've always been a big Liverpool supporter ever since my relatives came over here and they bought a poster, I don't know why, of Ian Rush, and I had a poster of Ian Rush on my wall. I had no idea who he was or anything like that, but Ian Rush, so I was a Liverpool fan and always have been. But anyways, it is so, so good to be here, to be spending time. And my wife and I have just had a great time and been so supported by all the disciples. And it's good to see my old roommate, Max. We were roommate for about 2 days. So it's good to see Max. And it's good to see some other faces as well. Vanesh is here and just to see him and get to know more and more people. So I look forward to spending time and fellowshipping with you after service. But today, we're gonna talk about faith. I love to talk about faith. It's such a, you see Jesus when he disciples people, when he challenges people, he challenges them most firmly and with conviction when it comes to their lack of faith. And faith is such a reason why we are here this morning. The title of my lesson is Lift Up Your Head. Lift Up Your Head. And the good thing about lifting up your head, there's good things for sure about lifting up our head, and there's bad things when we don't lift up our head. And so when you think about lifting up our head, what are some good things? Well, we get to see around us, and we get to see our setting that we're in and our environments. We get to see what things look like, what people look like. We get to see God's creation. We get to see what's going on around us, you know, and because we get to see those things, it kind of prevents us from getting hurt. We're able to drive because we drive with our heads up. And we're able to ride a bike. We're able to have conversations with people. Lots of good things happen with our heads up. But likewise, when our heads are down, we miss out. We miss out on a lot of things. We miss out on seeing people walk by us. We miss out on maybe seeing something that reminds us of God. You know, if our heads are down, we're probably going to fall down the stairs. We're gonna walk and run into walls, or here we're gonna walk into turnstiles in the tube stations, and oh, I didn't see that was there. But it's gonna be hard. It's hard when we live our lives with our heads down. Here we have our heads down, we're gonna get hit by double decker buses, and for sure in central London we're gonna probably get hit by someone on a cycle because they are all over the place. And I the other day I looked across the street and I looked to my right because that's what I gotta do now. And then I looked to my left and I didn't see anything coming. And I went and all of a sudden I hear this little bell and they're like, why didn't you see me? And it was someone on a cycle. And I said, I don't know why I didn't see you. I looked left, but I didn't see you, but I almost got hit by a cycle. But it's very important for us to lift up our heads so that we can see. And if we don't lift up our heads, bad things are bound to happen and we will get hurt and we will suffer. And things will be more challenging with our heads down. So I want to go to Matthew 14 and go ahead and read a great passage on faith that for sure shows faith We're just going to read about Peter here. Peter and Jesus and a great interaction that they go through. And I know we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, but Mike kind of gave me free rein to just kind of talk about whatever today. And so I was like, you know, I want to talk about faith, because that's for sure is my favorite topic to talk about. So we're going to read in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue there. Heavenly Father, thanks for this opportunity to come to the East Ministry here in London and just meet new brothers and sisters and have great conversations, God, and just really be moved because you have planned this, God. You have put this together, and just to be here after hearing so much about this church here, about this region of the church, and it's just great to be here and to be able to get into your word, to be reminded of Jesus and how God was willing to spend whatever he needed to spend in order for us, God, that he was willing to let Jesus go to the cross because you love us so much. And God, I just thank you. Thank you for that reminder. And thank you that idea of man, let's take something old in our lives and put something new into our lives. Let's put that old behind us with Paul and his welcome, God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just that we have this great day and we have your word and we can freely read it, God. I pray for your power to move in our lives, God, for the power of your word to move in our lives and really help us to take something new as we walk out the doors today and take something old and put it away and take something new, God. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It reads, "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out to his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" You know, this is a great passage. It's one we're all really familiar with. And I think I always read this passage and I look at that great faith of Peter walking on the water. It's awesome. It's amazing. He's one of only two men to ever do it. But studying this out and looking at faith, I've looked at this passage in a little different way. And the way I've looked at it is, if we're going to walk on the water, if we're going to walk with faith, then how do we get to that point? So this lesson, I'm not going to really talk about Peter walking on the water, but more we're going to focus on Peter and the prequel to him walking on the water, the build-up. What had to happen in order for Peter to walk on the water? Well, what happened before this? What has happened in Peter's life and the disciples' lives before this happened? Well, the first thing that Peter had to do is he had to obey Jesus and leave the land and head out on the boat across the lake as Jesus commanded in that passage. You know, another thing, Peter, he had to face this storm. Him and the disciples, they faced this storm. They faced it together. He's not alone. He's with his closest friends. But the final thing I see that Peter had to do is in the beginning of this passage is Peter, he had to lift up his head to see Jesus. He had to actually look up and say, "Hey, there's Jesus." And not only did he have to lift up his head to see Jesus, but he had to lift up his head during a storm, didn't he? When in a storm, what's going on during a storm? There's strife, there's struggle, there's doubt, it's hard. And this is in the middle of the night too. So it's hard to look up when a storm's going on, isn't it? And why is that? Well, if a storm's going on, we want to protect. We don't want to get hurt. we want to look down. We want to protect our faces. We want to stay away from harming ourselves. So looking up during a storm can kind of be a challenging thing. And it is, because we want to protect. And so we look down instead of looking up. But when they looked up, they saw Jesus. Even though at the time they thought it was a ghost, they do realize that it is Jesus. And so in order for us to walk by faith, in order to walk on the water, we have to be sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. And we have to be disciples that lift up our heads and look towards God and look for Jesus during the storms, during the challenges. And so my first point is straining at the oars. If you look at the parallel passage of this in Mark 6, verse 48, it tells us that disciples were straining at the oars. It also talks about in Mark 6, 48 that Jesus was about to pass by them. God does this a lot. He does a lot of this kind of passing by. He does this a handful of times in the Bible, this idea of passing by. And each time he does it, especially in the Old Testament, he's making a temporary appearance or something. He's making an appearance in the earthly realm to a select individual or group for the purpose of kind of communicating a message as Jesus is passing by. You know, God told Elijah to stand on a mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. That was in 1 Kings 19. There's a pattern to these stories. You know, it could be the burning bush or the wind or the fire or Jesus walking on the water. But whatever it is, God is trying to get the attention of people, to call them to do something extraordinary, to do something amazing, to do something by faith. So we have the disciples here on the lake. They're straining at the oars and Jesus is passing by in hopes they will see him and his divine presence. So let's kind of dive in here. What Peter and the disciples, what they have gone through over the last 24 hours. We touched on a couple things, but one, they dealt with the death of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. So feeling sorrow and sympathy for Jesus. You know, consoling someone when death has just occurred towards a loved one, that's not an easy task. You know, what do I say? What words do I give? How do I express sympathy? How do I give comfort? It's not easy. That's a challenging task. You know, at the same time, they've also just served 5,000 men in addition to women and children. That I don't think would be easy. That would take a lot of effort. They've also left a remote place where they left a remote place and went by boat, crossing the lake already. They've already done that in the last 24 hours. And think about this too as well. The disciples, they were fishermen. And so they're used to rowing and they're used to all this boat stuff and boat this and boat that and weather and waves. And they're used to this stuff. And here they are having a great difficulty as they strain at the oars. The disciples, you know, in verse 24, of the NLT, it says the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. In Mark 6:48 of the NLT, it says rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. So here are men doing what they know how to do, doing what they've done for many, many years, many, many days. And they are having a hard time. Doesn't sound like the disciples have had much time for Jesus lately, does it? It doesn't sound like they've had much time to really think about what they've done or think about what Jesus has done or really have much time for self-evaluation or to really reflect on their past 24 hours. These disciples, they've been on the go and now here they are doing what they should probably do best, and they are straining at the oars. You know, how often do we get like this though? When we are on the go, busy, busy, busy. I bet every single one of you will say, life's busy. I bet that's a common thing that we think and a common thing that we say. You know, life is really busy right now. But here the disciples are living a really, really, really busy life. But do they give Jesus the time he deserves and the time that we so desperately need to give to Jesus? How often do we strain at our oars? How often do we do that? And what might our oars be? Well, I think our oars are probably simply what we do best. know, for sure the fishermen, they're doing something that they are very good at, but they are straining at what they're at what they're good at. So isn't that what disciples are doing? They're doing what they know best. They're doing a skill they've done many, many times before. They're rowing. For them to be successful fishermen, they have to be good at rowing. But here they find themselves, it's challenging, it's hard. And the passage, it's not clear, but I even kind of wonder at the time, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. It's 3 a.m. And they're still rowing. But I kind of wonder, I wonder if maybe they gave up. If they said, you know what, this is hard. We're straining here. We can't even do the things that are really easy for us to do. A part of me wants to think that they did give up because they were able to see Jesus passing by. Because if you're rowing, most people row with their head up. Especially if you're straining, you're going to have your head down because you're trying to get to where you need to go. And so part of me thinks, I wonder if they gave up. And if they hadn't given up, I wonder if they would have saw Jesus or not. I'm not sure they would have saw him. So maybe your oars are what you do best. Because what we do best doesn't require a whole lot of Jesus, does it? You know, are you letting Jesus in to what you do best? Or is that your little comfort zone where you get to be Lord of it? Because, hey, it's what you do best, right? So, but the reality is that what you do best can only happen with Jesus. If you think your best is without Jesus, you're missing a whole lot of life with Jesus. And you're actually missing a whole lot of life that Jesus wants you to have. You're missing a life that Jesus wants you to have. If you let Jesus in and be Lord of what you do best, that best will become even better. It'll become even better. So we need to be careful. We aren't straining at the oars when the storms come. Maybe when the storms come, we do need to give up, so that we can see Jesus. You know, we can strain at the oars even when there is no storm, can't we? Because we consume our time with what we do best. Because we like to do what we do best because it gives us confidence. It gives us this fulfillment. This is what I'm good at. This is what I was meant to be here for. This is why I live. And so even if there isn't a storm, man, I just want to do what I do best. What we do best can be a dangerous place. Because the presence of the Lord can be lacking. But there's only one great thing about the presence of the Lord lacking. And the great thing about that is, even though the Lord might be lacking, He's right ahead of us. Jesus is not far. He's actually right ahead of us. And so my second point is, Jesus, right ahead. And why are you able to get out of dangerous places spiritually? It's because Jesus is right there. All you have to do is lift up your head and see Him, and He'll guide you safely. You know, we have to lift up our heads to see Jesus. We have to stop what we're doing and lift up our heads. And we have to look towards the heavens and take in some Jesus. When we stop what we're doing, we're able to see Jesus, aren't we? When we kind of, man, there's a storm going on. You know what? Let me stop here. Let me pray. It helps us. Seeing Jesus, it helps. So how do you go about developing a heart that focuses on Christ? Developing your mind to focus on Christ during a storm. You know, what's your mind focused on? Is it just focused on the storm and I got to get to where I need to go and it's really hard, I can't get there. This is challenging. Is it just focused on that? Or what are you feeding your mind? And you know, there's this law of exposure kind of creates our attitude. I don't know if you've heard of the law of exposure, but your mind will think most about what it is exposed to. So what you take in, it will affect you. I don't know how many times I think I've heard people go, oh, I'll be okay. I've done that before. I've seen that movie before. I'm doing fine in this area of repentance in my life. So I don't think that sin's going to affect me. So sure, I'll go ahead and dabble in this a little bit more. And what you take in will affect you. Don't even go near it. The law of exposure. The disciples stopped what they were doing, maybe because they were tired. I think they were probably pretty tired at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I'm sure they were exhausted. So they stopped. But sometimes in a storm, it's good to stop what we're doing. It's good. That's probably actually the best place for us to be, is in the storm, to just, let me stop. Because once you get there and you stop, you only have two choices. And you can either keep your head down, or you can lift your head up. So we will be in storms, but will we stop for a short enough time to see Jesus going by and react and say, okay, there's Jesus. Let me let Jesus into this situation. You know, Jesus gives us that chance to see him pass by a lot. But how often do we see him pass by? How often do we accept him passing by? Or because it's what we do best, I know what's better, I'm gonna keep trying to plug away in hopes that, you know, Jesus, he does pass by in hopes that we will see him and we will let him change our course and not be going the direction we're going. So if Jesus is right ahead, what course is he hoping you will change? You know, take in this picture for a second. The disciples are distressed and they want to have nothing to do with the storm. I'm sure they want to have nothing to do with this wind, this wave. And even think of the idea of, man, when you're doing something best and it's just not going for you, man, that's depressing. Man, I thought I was good at this. You know, as I get older in age, I'm 34 now and I'm playing football and, man, I used to be able to do all kinds of stuff. And now I can't do it as well as I used to be able to. I'm like, man, it's depressing. But man, I remember this one time I was at the University of Kent with my dad and I was like 12 years old and I was playing with these English men. I'm playing football in the gym. We're playing and I did like a double step over and they couldn't believe it. They're like, man, he's American playing football like that? What in the world? And I was 12 and man, I was like, that's right. I'm good at that. But now I'm 34 and if I did that, I don't know if I could do it as well as I did it back then. But man, when we're doing our best and it's just not happening, it's a stressful time. It's challenging. And it's hard and it's exhausting and, you know, it's a storm and it can be a storm that can really challenge us. You know, I think of Paul mentioned Hurricane Sandy, the superstorm that hit the East Coast and everyone that I know of is doing fine. There's been some flooding and some power outages. All the disciples in Virginia are doing fine and even up the East Coast and Baltimore and New Jersey and New York. I haven't heard anything. My family lives along the East Coast as well, and the only thing, and man, God's answered a lot of prayers, but the only thing is my grandparents, just they don't have power. But besides that, everyone's doing great, and so super, super thankful for that. But man, that was a powerful storm. It's caused a lot of stress and a lot of heartache and a lot of memories that people are going to hold for the rest of their lives that they probably don't want to remember. But it's going to be challenging, But it is, man, the great thing is Jesus is out in this storm, isn't he? And Jesus is out in our storms as well. But where, I think sometimes we don't want to be in these storms, do we? And so we don't want to be in these storms, so we want to get out of these storms right away. But that's might be exactly where Jesus wants us to be. He actually wants us to be in the storm and he wants us to be in the storm because look, that's where he is. Jesus is actually right there in the storm and he's saying, hey, come out here. Come out into the storm. This is exactly where I want you to be. So Jesus always comes in the most likely places, doesn't he? That's so comforting. That's such a comforting thing to think about. But he comes to those unlikely places because he wants us to be there with him. How often do we let him come into those uncomforting places? What places is Jesus standing at right in front of you, calling you to walk out to? You know, is it leading a family group, or is it sharing your faith with a coworker, or a neighbor that you can't stand, or maybe a coworker that really irritates you? But you know, what is Jesus calling you out to do? Is it confessing a sin that you've broken, but now it's come back into your life and you just can't wrap your mind around it and you're just frustrated. You know, is it having a conversation with a brother or a sister in the church that you kind of hold some resentment towards? That, you know, I've got to have that conversation. I've got to reconcile. I've got to have peace. You know, where is Jesus calling you to walk out to, hoping that you will join him there? You have two choices when you recognize Jesus is right ahead. You have two choices. You can sit in the boat and do nothing and just kind of be in your comfort zone and don't learn anything, or you can get out of the boat and you can learn something and you can grow. Your two choices are to live in fear or to live in courage. Because that's what Jesus says in verse 27. He says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." What sounds like the more adventurous way? What sounds like really living? Being afraid or taking courage? Few choices. Stay in the fear you already have produced, or throw the fear away, bag the fear, get rid of the fear, and let courage enter in. And so my third point is, take courage, do not be afraid. You know, the prayer of this lesson is that, and I really appreciated Paul's welcome, the prayer of this lesson is, we'll have this old fear, it'll be the old you, and courage will be the new you. You know how 40 is now the new 30? Well, let's have this lesson change your heart so you can say, courage is the new fear. When have you been gripped by fear? When have you been halted in your tracks and you got nothing going on? The society teaches us so much to live in this fantasy world. I think of sports. I think of football. You know, what is giving you joy? Man, oh, my team won. Yes, that was a great game. And so, but how long does that last? And even 10 years down the road, do you remember who won what and who won this title or won this game or who scored or whatever? It's like this fantasy world. And I think of stores like, hey, buy this and you'll feel better and buy that, and consumerism and come on, you'll get this and you'll feel great. And there's this, man, the society wants us to live in this fantasy world. I think of video games. Man, I gotta go home and I gotta go save the princess. Really? What princess is that? Oh, it's that animated princess created by some computer graphic designer. Oh, that princess. Yeah, there's this thing on the internet. I don't even know what it's called, but it's, if you don't like your life, you can go on the internet and you can create a new life. And you can create a person that, and you get them an education and they have a career and you can make a family, and I don't even know what it is, but it's super popular. And people do this, and they live in this fantasy world. And they live in fear. They live in fear of, no, let me live in reality and let me do something. Let me live by faith. Let me live with courage. You know, why does fear exist? Fear exists because I think there's a lack of trust in Jesus. That's why there's fear in our lives, is we lack a trust in Jesus. And where there's a lack of trust in Jesus, there's a real sense of failure, I think, at the same time. What's one step that you can take toward trusting Jesus in an area you fear failure? I think a lot of times that's why we are fearful, is, man, I don't want to fail. There's a great movie. It's one of the first movies I ever saw, and it's actually an English movie, Chariots of Fire. You guys know Chariots of Fire? Great movie. It's one of my favorite movies. It's a great story of faith. And Harold Abrams, I think I'm saying that right. He's one of the characters in the movie, but he's a real person. He won the gold medal in the 100 meters for England in the 1924 Paris Olympics. And it's interesting to see him fight this fear. You know, being afraid to fail does a funny thing to us. It can cause us to lose sight of the obvious. It can cause us to be irrational, and it can cause us to just freeze up and simply do nothing. That's what fear can do. And so in the movie Chariots of Fire, before he goes to the Olympics, he's racing Eric Little from Scotland, a Scottish champion, and the movie portrays that it's the first time they've ever run against each other. And Eric Little, everyone admires him and the way he runs and how smooth and graceful and how amazing he runs. And Harold Abrams trying to prove himself, and he's trying to prove himself even though he's never lost. He's never lost a race. And so it's the first time they're racing, and for the first time, Harold Abrams loses. And the pain of Pharaoh is so great, he decides that he cannot race again because he's lost. He's failed for the first time. And so I just want to kind of pick it up here. This is after this first race that him and Eric Little run, and he loses. And so this is him and his girlfriend, Sybil, are talking here. And so his girlfriend, Sybil, says, "Harold, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's a race you've lost, not a relative. Nobody's dead." Harold moans, "I've lost! I've lost!" She says, "I know, I was there. I remember watching you. It was marvelous. You were marvelous. He was more marvelous. That's all. On that day, the best man won. He was ahead. There was nothing you could have done. He won, fair and square." "Well, that's that," Harold says. "If you can't take a beating, perhaps it's not for the best," is what Sybil says. Harold says, "I don't run to take beatings. I run to win. If I can't win, I won't run." And Sybil pauses and then says to him firmly, "If you don't run, you can't win." You know, you see, there's a difference between failure and pain. To run the race is a beautiful thing, to run the race and win it gloriously. To run the race and give your best and lose, that it might be painful, but it isn't failure. You know, failure is not doing anything at all. You know, but talk about, where did his rationale go? Where did his logic go? If I can't win, I'm not going to run. Well, I don't think you're ever going to win again then, because you have to run to win. But his fear of failure, look where it's got him. Look where it's got him. Fearful to wait for the Lord. I'm sure that we're fearful when we're out on the water, when we're in that storm. Yeah, I'm sure the disciples, they were fearful. They could have chosen, if they could have chosen to be anywhere, where would they have wanted to be? They would have already been across the water in their cozy tents, which probably at that time they probably weren't too cozy anyways. But that's probably where they would have liked to have been. But fearful to grow, you know, in being, are we fearful to grow? Are we fearful to maybe take a failure and learn from that and grow? You know, what are some things we might be fearful in? Are we fearful in growing and in helping people become disciples? Are we fearful in growing in that? Because there can be a lot of pain with that. You know, man, you give and you give and you give and you pour your life into somebody and man, are they going to accept the truth or not? It can be a fearful thing. But are you going to choose to be courageous and to let Jesus work in your life in that area? This fear really is, fear is a courage killer. You know, it fear causes us to not share faith, which takes courage at times. And it causes us to not lead our families, to lead our wives, or to lead our sisters. You know, it kills our courage. Fear can cause us not to lead others to become disciples, and it causes us to, man, I don't know if I want to lead that family group or lead a discussion in that family group. It can cause a lot of things. Fear can cause us to lack courage. Maybe there's something a way you really want to serve or a way you really want to give to the East. Maybe there's some events you want to do, but you know it's going to take a lot of time and it's a lot of effort. But you know what? It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of courage. But is your fear causing you, I don't know if I want to do that because Then I've got to step it up. Oh. And look, Peter stepped it up. Look what he got to do. It's an amazing thing. What is God calling you to do? You're hesitant at what? You know, where is fear setting in and not courage? You know, I just kind of want to share this kind of something personal from my life of. I've been so involved with football for so long. I actually. I was a sports physio before moving here, and I was really, really involved with football throughout the whole country. I've had opportunities to work in professional football and be an intern in what is considered the Premier League in the States. It's called MLS, and I interned with a team there, and I had a job with a semi-pro team, which would kind of be in the championship in the States, and I was their physio. But then I went to school and I became a disciple, and I started working in high schools as a sports physio, but I still had this desire where I wanted to work in MLS, and I wanted to be a sports physio for a football team in the States. And so I applied for two or three jobs, and I didn't get them. And then just, a little less than 3 years ago, I was applying for this job, and they really liked me. I went and visited with the team, and I think the things I was praying for is, God, if this isn't going to be good for me, spiritually show me. But I visited with the team, and the guys, what I expected was they'd be cussing, and they'd be talking about this inappropriate things, and it just wouldn't be good. And God would make it obvious, like, that is not a good setting. Like, that would just be really challenging on my faith. I don't think I should do that. But they weren't like that at all. They were like, Brian, we heard about you. We're so excited you're here. You know, and this was kind of my trial experiment where I got to go to their practice and treat them and rehab them. And they were just the nicest guys. Hey, Brian, sit with us. You know, you're the new guy. Come sit with us. Get to know us. I was like, what is going on? This isn't what I thought at all. And then hey, we want you to come up to Philadelphia and meet with the doctors and get to know them. And so I go up there, I drive up there and I meet with them. And, you know, no one ever says this at the end of an interview, but they both shake my hand and they give me a wink and they're like, well, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, thanks for telling me I got the job without telling me I got the job. And so, I mean, but honestly, for 13 years, I'd wanted to work at this level of football as a sports physio. And so I just started thinking of my faith, and I started thinking of, why do I really want this job? And I started thinking, well, I want this job because I want to sit on a field where 20,000 people are around me. And I want to be around guys who are going to be on TV and in the paper, and I'll be on TV so I can say, hey guys, watch ESPN and you'll see me on the bench and I'll be there. And I wanted to be on the same field as sadly David Beckham, you know, like what in the world? But this was my heart. I wanted some fulfillment. I was desiring these things of the world, but it wasn't, man, I want to help David Beckham learn the gospel, or I want to help these football players learn the gospel, or I want to go to the Philly church and help it grow. It was nothing of that. It was all these ideas of the world. And so I was getting some discipling and my heart was, the truth was coming out and I just realized this wasn't for God at all. And so something I desired for 13 years is sitting me in the face, staring me in the face. And I remember praying this one day. I went for a prayer walk and I'm like, God, you really want me to say no to this? I can tell. I know you want me to say no to this. Being challenged by Abraham and Isaac, and how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, the thing he dreamed about. And here I'm dreaming about, I've wanted this job for 13 years, and am I willing to sacrifice this for God? Am I willing to do this? And I remember people going, Brian, if you're going to say no, why don't you just take your name out of the hat and just say, I decline? And I said, no, I want to be offered this job and say no. I want to do it. That's what I want to do. I don't want to take my name out of the bag. I want to know that I said no to this, that I was offered it and I said no. And I remember being challenged by Romans 12 and be a living sacrifice and being like, wow, this is what this means. Being a living sacrifice. I understand these scriptures that they're coming to life. And man, I was really fearful. What do I do? What am I going to do? Like, this is what I've desired. This is what I dreamed. And I remember the phone call and being like, oh, here's the phone call. Here's the official offer. And telling them no. And telling them, no, it's not best for my relationship with God. And not being fearful of saying that, but let me be courageous and say these things and saying these things and saying them with faith that God's going to take care of me. And I remember during this time of, you know, sitting, being discipled and praying about these things, like, God, if another dream that I had was to do what I'm doing now, to be a minister. That was another dream. But that dream was fearful. I was scared of that dream. And so I didn't really go after that dream. I went after this dream of being a sports physio and pro football. And so that was some of the prayers I prayed with the brothers is, God, I just pray that I can go after this other dream, that I can be a minister one day, that I can be paid to be a minister and just serve you day in, day out, all the time, not even be a physio anymore. And everything I prayed for has happened because I said no. And so it's great because I'm going after fears that I had and I'm doing things with courage and my faith is growing and it's expanding. And I know the only reason why I'm here is because of faith. It has nothing to do with me and what I think I can do best. Nothing. Because our faith is getting stretched. Lauren's faith is getting stretched. My faith is getting stretched. I know God wants us here. That's because we decided, you know what, let's go after our fears. Let's be courageous and go after these things and go where Jesus wants us to go. And it's been great. It's been so fun. So what have you been doing lately to grow in your courage? You know, I think that's a great question we all need to ask ourselves, ask one another in the fellowship. What's something you've done courageous lately? Courage comes because you have faith. Faith in Jesus. You have faith that in the storm, it is Jesus on the water, and that he is more in the storm than you are, and he wants you to come in the storm. So, some great questions I think we could ask is, what's one step you can take toward trusting Jesus in an area you fear failure, and what have you been doing lately to grow in your courage? You know, so we got to lift up our heads. We gotta lift up our heads, and if we're straining at the oars, look for Jesus. You know, we gotta lift up our heads, and we've gotta have courage. We gotta take courage, and don't be afraid, because Jesus is right ahead. He's right ahead throughout all of London. He's right ahead right here in this room. He's right ahead in our homes. He's right ahead in our places of work. He's right ahead, and so we've gotta take courage, and don't be afraid. We've gotta live this way with faith. Thanks so much for letting me share.
It's great to have Brian with us this morning, and just for us an opportunity to get to know you a bit better. Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate what you shared. You know, just this whole idea of even the question you asked at the end, what have you been doing lately to grow in your courage? That's a good question for us to be asking. The fact is that even amidst the storms, Jesus is with us, and we have a choice whether to keep our heads down and get on with whatever we feel we're good at, or to lift up our heads and to be willing to step out of our comfort zones to walk towards Jesus and to grow in our faith. I really appreciate just the lessons and the challenging questions you've asked. You know, halfway through he mentioned that video game that you can go on the internet. If you're not happy with your life, you can start a whole new life. It's called Second Life, in case you're interested. Andy Zillow told me, and so I've never heard of it myself, but there you go. You know, next week we have our Remembrance Sunday church service, and it'll be the end of half term, so hopefully the heating will be back on, we'll be back to our normal levels of comfort, but we'll all be planning to bring food for our service next week. And it'll be a fantastic opportunity for us to really just be able to reach out to our family and to our friends. Let me encourage us this week, let's step out on faith. And let's do some things that perhaps we may have previously been afraid to do. And let's make next Sunday an incredible Sunday to remember, an opportunity to really impact our friends with the message of the gospel. This time we're going to go ahead and have a final song, is that right? Let's go ahead and stand and let's have the song leads back up on stage.